Blog Talk Radio.
Well, shalom, everyone. This is Evangelist August Rosado with Today in Bible Prophecy Ministries. I want to welcome you to our radio program as we look at current world events in light of biblical prophecy. It is good to have you with us on this lovely Saturday afternoon. Well, folks, we are finally home after a three-month road tour. And boy, it is great to be back home in New England. But I got to tell you, folks, I am glad that we missed all this snow up here. My wife and I have been on the road since January the 9th, leaving Rhode Island before what they call a Popka blizzard hit the New England states and dumped a record 109 inches of snow. And during that time, Patty and I were suffering for the Lord Jesus down in the South. So, of course, I'm being facetious here. But we have been to 8 states, and I preached at about 18 churches, including an international trip to Israel and Jordan. We just got back to Rhode Island this past Thursday. And I'll tell you, folks, it is good to be home. And I only see some pockets of snow here and there. But we are coming to you live from Lincoln, Rhode Island. So we are right at our home base here in New England. But folks, my guest today is David James. He is the founder for the Alliance for Biblical Integrity. And he has such a great ministry, and he brings things to the table that we need as the body of Christ to take heed to today. His website is biblicalintegrity.org. David is a weekly radio contributor and a broadcast partner on Jimmy DeYoung's weekly radio show, Prophecy Today, and that is heard all across the United States. And you may have listened to David on his interview with Jimmy today, or Ask Jimmy interviewing him. And again, folks, he just has a lot of interesting things. And I enjoy listening to him every single week. And if you remember, we had David James on the air last October when I was speaking in Ohio. And many of you gave me a lot of feedback and said that you really enjoyed what he has to say. And again, I enjoyed listening to David when Jimmy asked him questions pertaining to subjects that must be addressed. And this is what we're going to do today. And as a matter of fact, David is about to come out with a brand new book. And I'm going to let him tell you about that book. So folks, without any further ado, we're going to welcome David James to the show today. So David, are you there?
I'm here. It's great to be with you again.
Hey, David, thank you so much for taking your time to come on the show today. I really appreciate everything that you are doing out there, and enjoyed listening to your interviews with Jimmy every single week on Prophecy Today. And I got to say, David, that you bring a lot to the table. I feel that you're a man that God has just blessed with a lot of and a lot of biblical insights that Christians really need to take heed to today. So I really appreciate you taking your time and coming on the show. So, David, before we begin, I know that you have a book coming out. Can you tell our audience what this book is all about?
Sure. Well, first, it's a pleasure for me to be with you, and I appreciate the kind encouraging comments. I love what I do, and I do a lot of research, staying on top of current events, as you know, and I love discussing those. But most of all, I like evaluating these things. My passion is to evaluate all of these things that are happening in our world today from a biblical perspective, and that's what Jimmy and I do every week, and that's what you and I discussed last fall, and that's what my book is about. It's going to be published by the Berean Call, the same publisher that published my book concerning the Harbinger. It was the Harbinger Fact or Fiction, which came out in 2012, For those who may not be familiar, the Berean Call was a ministry that is a ministry that was started by Dave Hunt and
yes.
T.A. McMahon. And Dave went home to be with the Lord some time ago, and now T.A. McMahon is now leading that ministry. And so they're publishing my book, and like The Harbinger, it is also a critique and an evaluation of another book by Jonathan Kahn. I didn't intend to make Jonathan Kahn the center of my ministry, and he's not at all, and what he's doing is not the center of my ministry, and I don't follow a lot of what he's doing on a daily basis, but he came out with another book called The Mystery of the Shemitah, which came out last September and is actually an expansion of a chapter in his first book, The Harbinger, and builds on those ideas, the ideas of The Harbinger and then specifically that chapter. So my book is an evaluation of that. For your listeners, the Shemitah is the Jewish Sabbath year, just as there was a Sabbath day, the seventh day of the week. The Shemitah
yes.
is the Sabbath year for the Jewish people as outlined in the Law of Moses, a time when they were to not harvest or reap. In the sixth year, God would provide 3 years' worth of produce to carry them through the sixth year, the seventh year, and through the harvest in the eighth year from the counting of the first year. And so, just like the Harbinger, the theory there that The harbingers found in Isaiah 9:10 have been replaying on American soil, beginning with the terrorist attacks of 9/11/2001. The mystery of the Shemitah, has its theoretical basis, the idea that God has been visiting Shemitah-type judgments upon the United States, actually going back every 7 years for decades, and claiming that God does this holding America accountable in the same way that he held his chosen people accountable through the Law of Moses. And so we're coming up on the end of this Shemitah year, the seventh year, according to modern Hebrew reckoning, this fall. And so my book is a response to that, dealing with that, and also because it has become tied in with the blood moon theory, the blood moon tetrad theory by Mark Biltz, popularized by John Hagee and discovered by Mark Biltz back in 2008. My book will be dealing with that as well. And we'll also have some appendices, some material from my first book for people who don't have the background. Also includes an article that I did on the blood moons and various things. So hopefully it will be helpful, and hopefully it will be coming out sometime next month or the 1st of June.
Now, you know, David, and I agree with what you said. You know, your ministry does not center on these guys. Your ministry is centered on fact and sticking with the Bible. And most people would say, well, I mean, don't you think that you're overstating, you're attacking Biltz, you're attacking Jonathan Kahn? Couldn't you like focus on something else rather than attacking these guys? Why is it so important that we have to call these guys out?
Well, I'm involved with the Alliance for Biblical Integrity is I refer to it as an apologetics / discernment ministry, and
yes.
you know, apologetics ministries began developing 20, 30 years ago, and they were designed to defend the Christian faith and give answers to primarily world religions and cults, providing biblical answers to those claims, other truth claims from other world religions and cults and things like that. The discernment-type ministry is a more recent development, is actually kind of an outgrowth of the apologetics ministry, but the thing is, the focus tends to be not so much on outside forces, world religions, other claims to truth from outside the church, but looking at truth claims from within the church and examining those to see if they're really biblical, because we know that one of the characteristics of the last days is that there are going to be false prophets not coming from outside the church, but actually coming up from within the church. And these competing voices are really they're really causing a lot of confusion. And so,
yes.
And so we're called to discern these things from a biblical perspective.
Yeah, I totally agree 100%. You know, we are definitely living in these last days. And I'm reminded of 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, where the Bible says that the Spirit speaks clearly or expressly that in the latter times some shall depart, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons and doctrines of devils. And you're right. A lot of this stuff is coming from within the church, David. And I am so glad that God has raised up someone like you to actually call these guys out. It's not a personal attack, but these guys are departing from the scriptures, and they're giving heed to these seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And since you already brought it up, you mentioned about Mark Bilch, and I've heard you and Jimmy talk about this quite a bit on his show. David, if I had a nickel for every question that was asked me about the blood moons, I'd be living easy right now. And Christians are really getting caught up in all of this stuff without checking the facts out. And you reported on some friction between John Hagee and Mark Bilch on who originally discovered this blood moon mania. Now, Bilch hit Hagee with a demand letter and is asking Hagee for a public apology with this blood movie that's coming out. And it seems like Hagee is taking all the credit as well as the profits from this movie. And Bilch is saying, hold on, buddy, you need to get your facts straight here. I'm the one that discovered this blood moon. What is going on with this stuff?
Well, I think it may be even a little more complex and maybe a little even more subtle than that in some ways. Just for our listeners, the blood moon tetrad, or the thing that we're talking about, is that there are a blood moon tetrad is a series of four total lunar eclipses, and during a total lunar eclipse, the moon takes on a reddish or a reddish brown color as the light from the sun passes around the Earth onto the surface of the moon through the Earth's atmosphere. And so, and a blood moon tetrad is when you have four consecutive full lunar eclipses with no intervening partial eclipses. And Mark Bilch discovered back in 2008, as he got on the NASA website, that coming up in 2014 and 2015, that these four blood moons would occur on Jewish feast days, beginning with Passover 2014, then the Feast of Tabernacles in the fall of 2014. And then actually the third one was this morning. It was around 6 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time, the shortest total eclipse of the century, only about 8 minutes long, I believe. And so the fourth one will be the Feast of Tabernacles in the fall. And so when back at maybe 2008, 2009, somewhere not too long after he had found it, Mark Bilch had Dr. Hagee out to his church, and he did some meetings there. And it was there that Mark Bilch shared this idea with John Hagee, and John Hagee became very excited about it. And he actually published his book in the fall of 2013, and Mark Bilch wrote a book on the same subject that came out, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 months later in the spring of 2014, about a year ago. My guess is, as I've tried to analyze this, is that John Hagee has a much bigger ministry, a much bigger media machine, a lot more things to facilitate getting a book out first. But I've read the book, or at least most of the book, and in it he actually tells the story about being with Mark Bilch and getting the idea there. But in the movie, there was a movie that just was released, limited released in some local theaters last Monday. And the contention is that in the movie, he doesn't give appropriate credit to Mark Bilch. Now, I haven't seen the movie, so I can't tell it for sure exactly what's going on. But it was reported by WND, which formerly WorldNet Daily. And you mentioned a letter calling, asking for an apology and an editing of the movie to give more credit, more clearly credit to Mark Bilch. As I was reading that even just a little bit ago, it seems to me that this isn't necessarily coming directly from Mark Bilch. but it's actually coming from WND, the letter to Hagee. If I'm correct, I think the letter went to Dr. Hagee from WND, who was also involved with, I think, has been deeply involved with Mark Biltz as well as Jonathan Kahn. So there are a lot of things going on here. It's unfortunate the way this has developed, because it's based upon so many flawed biblical ideas, and it's based on even flawed logic and flawed historical data as well.
Okay, David, let's say Tabernacles already takes place. There was a blood moon. According to Hagee and Biltz, what is supposed to happen this fall once this blood moon takes place? I mean, what's supposed to happen?
Well, in this regard, Hagee has probably taken a little bit more careful positioning. But the thing is, I would say Jonathan Kahn, Mark Biltz, John Hagee, all three of them, probably learning some lessons from the past and failed prophecies from the past. They're all three trying to be careful to say, but we're not saying anything has to happen. But, you know, Hagee, for example, in an article describing what was going on, he said, things are about to change. So he's tying his wagon to this idea that something big is going to happen, that God is going to do. You know, Mark Biltz has spent a lot of time, along with Jonathan Kahn, on the Jim Baker program. They're regular guests there. And in one particular segment that I have recorded, and I have it on my computer, Mark Biltz says that if the tribulation does not start with the end of the Shemitah cycle and the beginning of the new one, if the tribulation doesn't start then, it cannot start for 7 years. Well, that changes everything. For one thing, neither Jonathan Kahn nor Mark Biltz have, anywhere I've been able to find, will take a position on the relative timing of the rapture and the tribulation. And so that means that if the several things happen. Either the rapture is going to occur coming up this September, which means, it, according to Biltz, then logically it couldn't happen until then, but he won't take a position, which means he could be open to a mid-trib or a pre-wrath position, which would let the tribulation get started before the rapture, and Christians would have to go through a lot of the tribulation. Or if he takes a post-trib position, that means that Christ isn't going to rapture the church and he's not going to come for another 7 years, or even 7 years after that, putting it out 14. So you have, it destroys the doctrine of imminency. It also destroys the idea where Christ said no man can know the day or the hour. So what I've done, one of the things I've said is, here you have non-date setting date setters. They try to have it both ways. And they play both ends against the middle. And what's even worse concerning the Jim Baker involvement is that Jim Baker also heavily promotes prepping supplies, survivalist supplies. In fact, on any given 60-minute program, he'll devote 10 to 12 minutes, a full 20% of the program, promoting prepping supplies, sometimes at the end, sometimes in the middle. So he's, from a marketing perspective, he's creating a market through fear-mongering and then selling into the market that he's created. And it's shameful that guys would allow themselves to be attached to that, even if, you know, not getting into the motives of Jonathan Kahn or Mark Biltz, it's a shame that they would allow themselves to be used and manipulated in that way.
Well, you know, David, we just have not learned our lessons, as you already said, from past failed prophecies. And, I mean, Y2K and all this other stuff, when Christians went on the bandwagon, just selling, I mean, thousands and thousands of dollars in, you know, food supplies and all types of other stuff. I mean, it's a crying shame that we're doing this stuff again. You know, how dangerous is this Mark Belt's guy, Doc, and how dangerous is he, as well as Jonathan Cotton?
Well, you know, I think there are primary and secondary issues. You know, one of my great concerns about Mark Belt is his involvement with the Hebrew Roots movement, which is an attempt to, what I would say, re-Judaize the Christian church and cause problems that Paul tried to deal with in the first century. So that's one issue. But I'll tell you what my greater concern is and where I think the greater danger lies. It lies on two ends of the spectrum. One is that if these guys are saying that Christ can't come or won't come or the rapture is not going to happen except on this particular timetable coinciding with these blood moons or what he calls the Shemitah cycle, which, by the way, the Hebrew calendar, the modern Hebrew calendar, seems to be off 1 to 3 years from the calendar that Moses was observing and when God set this into motion. So that presents a problem all by itself. But that being said, if it's not going to happen until then, on the one hand, it's going to breed complacency. One problem that humans have is that we put things off. We're inherent procrastinators, at least a lot of people are, especially when it comes to spiritual things. We always think we have time. That's evident by the fact that people die thinking that they're not going to die and they haven't prepared themselves spiritually for it. So we put off spiritual things. That's a part of being having a sin nature. But the other end of the spectrum is, what happens to those people who have bought into this and we get past this tetrad cycle and nothing happens? You know, Jonathan Cahn's book was the number one Christian book, number one selling Christian book of 2012. I was just on Amazon.com today, and his current book, Mystery of the Shemitah, is number one in two categories of prophecy books on Amazon.com. These guys have amassed a massive following, and what is going to happen when these things turn out to not of what's going to happen, that they really aren't tied to biblical prophecy, which they cannot be, and people become disillusioned and turn away from the faith. I received an email, I think it was just last week or it was earlier this week, from a young man who was pleading with me. He was desperate because his family, his in-laws, had bought into the Jim Baker phenomena connected with the blood moons and the Shemitah and the Harbinger and all that. And they had basically taken, from what I could tell from his brief email, a huge amount of money, maybe life savings, to buy into prepping supplies. And it was, you know, this is his wife's family, and it's destroying the family. And he's desperate to find a solution of biblical answers.
That is just a crying shame. It reminds me of what Mr. Harold Camping was doing in, I believe it was 2012, when he said the rapture was going to take place. And people were, his followers actually, were selling their homes and emptying out their life savings because, hey, they were going to get raptured that day. They were on street corners with signs saying that today would be the rapture. I even heard reports, David, that they were even putting their animals to sleep because they did not want their animals left on the earth to go into that tribulation period when they got raptured up into heaven. And then, of course, when nothing happened that day, everybody just went and crawled under a rock. And I believe the same exact thing is going to happen when all of these failed prophecies that Khan and Biltz is saying is not going to happen. I mean, going back to this Biltz guy, David, I mean, he's made some really pretty crazy statements in the past. For example, he said that all the teachings of the Apostle Paul should be ignored because, number one, Paul was an anti-Semite who emphasized grace over law. I couldn't even believe that he even made that statement. He also made another statement that the five foolish virgins of Matthew 25 are Christians who worship on Sunday and not on the Sabbath. And this is how dangerous this Hebrew Roots movement is that he is established. I mean,
he's a pretty dangerous individual.
Now, I have seen those statements by those in some of, you know, the Hebrew Roots movement tends to be a spectrum, and not everybody falls on the same spot along that spectrum. And I have seen statements like those by some in the extreme statement. I had not seen those yet by Biltz, but I will do some follow-up to, because if he said that, then, I mean, he's way, way out there. When you get out into that particular realm where, you know, some would say even the mark of the beast is the keeping of the Sabbath. I mean, you see all kinds of stuff like that.
Yes.
But when you get out into that end of that spectrum, some of these guys will go to the denial of the deity of Christ, which, according to John in his epistles, is the very spirit of Antichrist.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. You know, another example, David, of course, a good friend of mine, Dr. Dave Reagan of Lamb and Lion Ministries, he has been interviewing a lot this guy by the name of Carl Gallup. I'm not sure if you're familiar with him or not. He is out of Milton, Florida. He wrote a book called The Rabbi Who Messiah, and I myself wrote a booklet critiquing that book because he really made a lot of off-the-cuff statements that I thought was not biblical at all. So I responded to his book. But Dr. Reagan has now cut off all ties with this guy and canceled all TV interviews as well as speaking engagements at his conference because he went and made a statement in his book that right now, David, he's saying right now, you and I, the whole world, right now, we are in the trumpet judgments. As a matter of fact, we are in the sixth trumpet judgment, which what they're saying is that right now we're in the tribulation period. I mean, how in the world could these guys even come to such a conclusion that we're in the trumpet judgments right now? What happened to the first, second, third, fourth, or fifth trumpet judgment? Did we just bypass that and shoot right to the sixth trumpet judgment? I mean, where do these guys get this stuff from? And again, going back to Mark Biltz, he made a statement that with this fourth blood moon would herald the second coming of Jesus Christ back to this earth. So get rid of the rapture, get rid of the tribulation period, and boom, right to the second coming of Jesus Christ. Do these guys come to this type of conclusion? Is it simply because they spiritualize the Bible to death and make it sound any way that they want?
I think there's probably as many different answers to that as there are guys who are doing it. When you start doing some of this stuff, once you cut the anchor rope to the scriptures and taking certain things literally and taking them, comparing scripture with scripture and synthesizing all the information, once you start breaking those out, and then you start drawing conclusions, one of the things that is characteristics of guys who will teach doctrines that end up being false is that they make too many off-the-cuff statements or premature statements, and they make public statements while they're still trying to formulate their doctrine. And then what happens is, I don't go after people's motives. That's between them and God. But I think the practical aspect of this is that, you know, sometimes people back themselves into a corner publicly, and then, you know, so much is done, so much is said, it becomes virtually impossible to even disentangle yourself from your own premature statement. So that's why, you know, you and I and Jimmy, others who have, Dr. Reagan, those of us who have public ministries, including Jonathan Kahn, Mark Biltz, John Hagee, all of us, and we're not at the same level in terms of influence. I wouldn't, you know, I'm nowhere near have that much influence. But the fact that we do have public ministries, and even if we have a ministry of teaching Sunday school in our local churches, that's still a public ministry. The responsibility to be careful and think through biblically everything you're saying, and it's better to be silent when you get out into the realm of speculation and think through it, then to make statements that you have to backpedal from, rather than, and the tendency is, especially when a lot of money, a lot of prestige, a lot of power is at stake, the temptation is to dig in your heels against your critics rather than to listen. One of the things I found, this has gotten really ugly on a lot of counts from the time that I started dealing with some of these issues, and I've felt the brunt of it. Others have as well. The Brian Call has, those who have, Jimmy has, those of us who have dealt with some of these issues, we felt the brunt of it. And what we're continually told is that we're unteachable. We're so dogmatic, and the problem is that we're actually trying to address the dogmatism that has become disconnected from the scriptures, and that's where you end up in serious trouble.
You know, David, I look at people like Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, Jimmy Jr., yourself. I look at all of you as biblicist. You stick with the Word of God as a final authority. You don't engage in drama, sensationalism, or viral doctrines. I mean, does not the Bible tell us in Acts chapter 17 and verse number 11 that we are to be good modern-day Bereans, that we are to test everything by the authority of the Word of God? And if it doesn't add up with the Word of God, and obviously what these guys are teaching are not adding up to the Word of God, if it doesn't add up to the Word of God, then we need to reject it. It's not that you and I and Jimmy don't have a teachable spirit. We're lining up stuff against the Word of God, and David, they're not lining up. I mean, plain and simple,
right.
They're not lining up.
Right, that's true, and a lot of work has been done to try to carefully work through this from a biblical perspective, dealing with the biblical material, the historical material, even the manipulation of statistics and data, just some of those things that happen, you get partial stories. For example, with regard to the blood moons, the big issue is that they say, okay, there have been, in the last several hundred years, the times when the blood moon tetrad occurred on Jewish feast days, something major has happened with the nation of Israel. So first they go back to the expulsion of the Jews from Spain in, I believe it was 1692. The problem is the first blood moon didn't occur until 1693. When you check out these dates, except for one instance concerning this 1967 war, they happened after the fact concerning the birth of the nation of Israel. The Shemitah year but the blood moon tetrad cycle started in 49. It was 49-50, not in 48. So how can things be a sign if they happen after the fact? So what happens is you get guys who they're arguing for specificity. They say God is so precise and here's how it happens, and they call these signs, and yet when there's a conflict with the scriptures or a conflict with the data or a conflict with history, being in the ballpark is good enough, and then it's playing both ends against the middle. You just can't have it both ways.
Can't have your cake and eat it too, folks. I hope you're really listening to what David, James, and myself are talking about. Christians are getting so caught up in this stuff, and instead of getting biblical doctrine, they're getting a lot of false doctrine, they're getting a lot of drama and sensationalism, and that's the reason why the Bible says that we need to test these things against the authority of the Word of God, and that's what Acts chapter 17 says. According to the Bereans, that they searched the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. And Christians today are not searching the scriptures to see whether these things are so. They're just buying into these big names like Mark Belch and Jonathan Kahn. And folks, we need to get back to the Bible. We need to get back to what the Word of God says. And like Dr. Jimmy DeYoung would say, you know, my God is always on time. And these blood moons are never on time. They never fall on any of these specific days. It's either before or it's either after the fact. And it's such a shame that people like Hagee and Bilge and Jonathan Kahn are selling this stuff. And unfortunately, you know, you got, I don't know if it's a, if I should use this word, gullible Christians that are swallowing this stuff hook, line, and sinker. And folks, I got to tell you something else. This is the reason why that me, August Rosado, enrolled in the School of Prophets. And why? Because I want to make sure, David, that what I'm teaching is biblical. And that's the reason why, you know, I enrolled in the School of Prophets, because you're involved in that, as well as Dr. DeYoung, who founded it. And just tell us a little bit about School of Prophets and why should people enroll in this like I have, David?
Sure. Well, just for clarification, the name of the school is School of Prophets, but we're talking about prophets in the sense of foretellers of God's word, not foretellers of the future. So we're not raising up a generation of people who claim to be speaking for God with new revelations.
Right.
So that's
right.
Not the idea. The idea is to be foretellers who faithfully proclaim the word of God. And the School of Prophets is unique. I don't know if there's any other school like it in that it offers a master's and a doctoral level degree in advanced, what we call advanced eschatological studies, or an advanced study of last things according to the Bible. We operate under the auspices of Louisiana Baptist University, and actually the diploma is granted by them. And so, but Jimmy DeYoung and I and Jimmy Jr., we teach, we're the primary teachers in the program, and it takes you through core biblical issues. So, for example, the four courses I teach tend to be the more academic courses. One is hermeneutics and Bible study methods. The other is dispensationalism. The other is comparative eschatological systems, which means just discusses the various ways that people handle the scriptures. And we believe that the proper way is to take the Bible literally, grammatically, historically, and when you do it that way, you come out with a dispensational understanding, a dispensational theology of scriptures. And then the fourth class I teach is God's plan through the ages, going from eternity past to eternity future, Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, and seeing this whole sweep of how God does things and is carrying his program forward to establish his kingdom of righteousness. And then Dr. DeYoung, this is all in this master's level program. Dr. DeYoung teaches the book of Revelation, and along with Jimmy, the book of Revelation, the book of Ezekiel, the book of Daniel. And in the other program, in the doctor program, we get into the feast, doctrine of angels, things related to the end time, so that the graduates of our program have a good grasp upon the Word of God, and not just in general, but thinking of it from the big picture perspective and where this is going, because so much of the scriptures, a vast majority of the scriptures, have to do with prophetic issues, things related to what God has done, is doing, focusing on what he will do in the future and looking at the scriptures from that way. So anyone who is interested in really getting a solid biblical education with a focus on eschatology, the study of last things, a proper handling of biblical prophecy, it would be a great program, because the truth is, there's just not many people offering it, even schools that have been historically strong dispensational schools, and that number is decreasing, unfortunately.
It is decreasing a lot, and I know, like you said, I know some good schools who were solid at one time, and I'll tell you, David, they just threw out the baby with the bathwater, and that's the reason why, folks, I just recently enrolled in School of Prophets. David James gave me the final, okay, you're in, so and so I am just hitting the books. I'm just hitting the books right now, and I've already sat down on my first School of Prophets class this past February. with Dr. Jimmy Sr. and Jimmy Jr. teaching the classes. David, you were supposed to be there, but we missed you. But we will be there in the fall for the second School of Prophets class. I'm hoping to see you there. But, folks, that's the reason why I enrolled is because, I mean, I've been studying this subject for a little over 27 years, and I'm still learning something new every single day. But I felt the Lord was leading me in this direction to enroll in School of Prophets. And I'm telling you, I am just blessed to be under the teaching of men like Dr. DeYoung, Jimmy Jr., and David James, who are biblicists. And I want to emphasize that word. They're biblicists. They stick with the authority of the Word of God. And these guys are challenging me to do the same exact thing. Being in the ministry that I'm in, I need to make sure that I have my I's dotted and my T's crossed. And I appreciate a school like this. And so if you want more information about going to the School of Prophets and enrolling, David, what do they have to do?
They can go to Jimmy's website, prophecytoday.com, or they can directly access the School of Prophets website at schoolofprophets.org. You can get there either way.
And now,
glad to have you on board. By the way, we've just got three guys. Three guys right now who are working on finishing up their, two of them have finished their master's level theses. Four guys. I just finished going through a thesis this past week. I just finished designing the cover for one guy for one of his papers, because what we're trying to do is we're trying to have it work out so that guys who do their master's theses are doing work that is at the level that they could publish if they wanted to. And so I'm functioning as both a theological and a copy editor for them.
And folks, you can get in on that, get some good doctrine, the School of Prophets. And again, go to Jimmy's website, prophecy.com, or the schoolofprophets.org. And now, David, as we bring this broadcast to a close, how can our listening audience get a hold of you if they have any questions, or to get a hold of that new book that's coming out?
Sure. Well, we're in the final stages of editing the book, and so I'll be announcing it on my website and also through our newsletter. So you can go to biblicalintegrity.org, one word, biblicalintegrity.org. Down on the right-hand side, you can subscribe to the newsletter. So when I have updates, a new article, or, for example, I've just published my ministry schedule. You'll be able to receive updates for that. If you have any questions, you can go to the contact page. I try to answer every email as soon as it hits my inbox. Usually, it may be a day, but if you don't hear from me within a day, I didn't get your email. So I try to make that answer questions. I helped a lady find a church last week. I've answered doctrinal questions, things related to our broadcast. That's happening on a weekly basis, so we'd love to hear from you. No questions too tough, and we'll try to give you a solid biblical answer.
And, folks, when he says he gets to his email, he ain't whistling Dixie. He does get to his email. And so shoot David James a question. Get to know his ministry a little bit better. Ask him a question and get a copy of that book. Now, I get questions all the time about Jonathan Kahn's book and The Harbinger. Have you heard of it? You need to get a copy of David James' book, Harbinger, Fact or Fiction. And he gives a strong critique of Jonathan Kahn's book going through by a biblical perspective. And so I would recommend that you visit his website and get to know him a little bit better. But David, thank you so very much, my friend, for coming back on the show. Could we get you on next month?
Should be able to. I try to be able to be available wherever I am in the world. I'm either here or in some country around the world, but we're able to hook up one way or another, so I'd be glad to do it.
Okay, I really appreciate that. Thank you so much again, David, and we're looking forward to seeing you down the road, my friend.
Thank you, August. Good to be with you again.
God bless you, folks. That was David James, the Alliance of Biblical Integrity. And we brought a lot to the table, so I hope that it was a blessing to you. Now, if you live anywhere in the New England area, Sunday morning, I am going to be preaching at the Center Conway Baptist Church in Center Conway, New Hampshire, Monday through Wednesday. So if you live anywhere in that area, come on out as we look at world events in light of biblical prophecy. Until next week, this is August Rosales saying keep looking up. Jesus is coming soon.